Welcome to Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella. And I'm Linda. And I got stuck in horrible traffic, which is why we're here late. Or I was late. She was really early. But we are here and we are ready to talk a little bit about what's going on with the Trump indictment. And we're also going to talk about Gen Z males, Gen Z boys, especially 12 graders who are going to the right. They're a lot more conservative than we thought. We'll discuss if TikTok has had an influence on these young males, whereas the females are actually obviously going more liberal. And we will also discuss the current Lizzo controversy. As you guys know, I always talk about unfortunate looking people who are mean and get away with bullying. So it's not really a shock that somebody like Lizzo, who has been protected for being obese and she's a fat icon, will be caught sexually harassing people, doing inappropriate things. Apparently her dancers were forced to eat bananas out of sex workers' vaginas, which I'm trying to understand how they even got there to begin with. And what else do we have in store today?
We got that. I have a little clip from Mia Khalifa, but I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to play it today. Discussing why women should divorce their husbands.
Oh, I saw that.
If they're unhappy. Mia Khalifa has been engaged 3 times, divorced twice, I believe now.
Oh my gosh, she's actually been married?
She's been married. Okay. Oh, what do you know? Hoes win.
Hoes getting married.
Hoes getting married in their early 20s. Amazing. It's almost like everything we say is true. Hey, guys, before we get started, I know we're on a little bit late, but if you can help us get on the algorithm, share, like, and subscribe to our channel if you haven't already. Show us some support. Help us get on the algorithm. Like, and please comment on the chat. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your commentary and your questions. I know we got a couple of people in the chat already, a couple of questions about Nick Fuentes on Saucecast.
Really? Already? Great.
Yeah, we got a couple of questions about Nick Fuentes on Saucecast. So before we get started, we do want to take a moment to thank our sponsors. As you all know, Sentry H2O and Under the Sink Water Filtration System made here in America is proud to be our sponsors. No Illuminati, no lizard people supporting Mostly Peaceful Latinas, just patriots out of Arizona. The underwater filtration system provided by Sentry H2O is not just has many virtues to it, including how compact it is and that it does fit under the sink, but it also is very reasonably priced compared to their competitors out in the market, where you'll find a relatively competitive product at about $1,000 up to the onwards of $3,000. The Sentry system comes in at just under $300 plus that MPL code that will get you an even further small discount. Invest in the health of your family and for yourself. If you're somebody who reads the back of labels often, or if you wish that you were somebody who read the back of labels often, this is a great product for you to invest in while also supporting a patriotic American company and supporting us at Mostly Peaceful Latinas.
Absolutely. So somebody is asking what my shirt says. This shirt is actually by Kareem Tatum's store, which I can give you guys a link if you want. It says anti-Biden Barbie. And Kareem Tatum is a great person. I love the stuff that she sent me. She sent me a couple of things before, including this. So if you guys want to support her, I posted it there in the comments. And yes, we need to work on merch. But let me go through some of this. Where did they talk about Fuentes? I actually watched the entire Nick Fuentes episode today. And it was pretty pathetic that a 42-year-old man, Nima, was very obnoxious and showed up to a podcast wearing shorts. Was talking about
I can't believe
penis.
You just mentioned that.
He was when talking about his penis size. It was so embarrassing.
I was really taken back by how short his shorts were, with his legs wide open on TV while he obsessively talked about other people's micro penises. It was very cringe.
It was really
very
cringe.
Strange. I have no idea who he is. Linda is apparently aware of him.
He's a very obnoxious person. And I don't know. It's weird. Somebody also asked us what I thought about the Barbie movie. I saw the Barbie movie. I thought it was great. I thought it was comedic genius. I'm not trying to go through my life through this binary lens where I only look at things because they're conservative or anti-woke or not woke. I don't care about that stuff. I rarely ever go to the movies. I literally go like twice a year. You'll never catch me at the movies. Actually, this year I've been twice. I went to watch The Little Mermaid and I went to watch the Barbie. And I find it ridiculous that conservatives are going on Twitter and are going online to cry about the Barbie. Oh, it's a feminist movie. It's woke. Barbie as a whole has always been a feminist doll. Barbie was president. Barbie was an astronaut. Barbie was everything that she wanted. And it was all about females, right? That's why the Barbie world exists. So I'm not really sure why they would go in with the mentality of trying to find something that is anti-woke or anti-feminist, knowing damn well from the beginning, from the inception, from the first Barbie that was ever created, that it was that it's a feminist toy. It's that simple. I'm not trying to go through my life like that, but I will say this. There's a lot of it's kind of like poking fun at everyone, right? There's a point where a little girl calls Barbie a fascist, obviously because she's beautiful and she's in shape and she's tall and she's skinny and she's blonde. What? There's like a Jewish joke. I think it was like Will Ferrell. Oh, when Barbie, that's what it was. Barbie was like questioning Will Ferrell. Like, well, how come all the executives are male? Like, isn't this supposed to be like all female world type of stuff? He's like, yes, everything is inspired by women. And you know, and she's like, yeah, but you guys are all males. And then she goes on to say, well, actually, I have a Jewish friend. Like, don't cancel me. I have Jewish friends. So like, you'll pick up some jokes at obviously making fun of our current situation as a whole and the culture that everything is very polarized. But if you're going to go in with the intention of like, is this an anti-woke movie? You're retarded. Don't go watch it. Don't waste your money. And that way you won't have to cry on Twitter.
It's also just so annoying. Like everything. We spoke about it. So like last week, you couldn't watch Sound of Freedom because, oh my God, the investors and the people and whatever. Now you can't watch Barbie. It's like people just don't want people to have any fun. We can't have nice things in the Republican Party. That's why I hate this dusty party. Mm-hmm. I hate that I'm stuck here with you people. It's like everything that's fun and brings joy into our lives, you guys want to ruin because somebody made a triangle with their hands one time or accidentally covered their eye while they were moving their hair out of their face. And it's just fucking annoying. But
let's get into this. Let's get into the Trump indictment. Really serious stuff. I'll tell you this. I don't know if Trump, I think that there is a possibility that we are going to see Trump in jail or handcuffed or in house arrest or
you think
even
so?
Worse. Yeah, I think that there's a possibility and I'll tell you why. Because the charges in Washington, D.C., which we're going to go over now, are actually pretty ridiculous compared to some of the other stuff. I was listening to Ben Shapiro earlier, who's actually, I can't stand him, but he is really good when it comes to breaking down the laws, breaking down things. He's a very serious person, and he actually knows the law and whatnot. So I think the worst charges that Trump has are actually here, the ones in Florida, of the document situation, which we have gone over before. But the ones that he's being charged for in Washington, D.C. are probably the most political than any of the other charges that he's facing in Florida. And what was the other one? New York as well.
And in New York, right.
I know that he's for sure going to get one in Georgia.
That's but we don't have fact. The ones in Georgia yet. So the ones
in Georgia.
But that's
going to come.
Right.
That's
the ones in Georgia are supposed to be the strongest case that they have against him, I believe. Not the Florida one. Because what we need to look at with the Florida one is that in order to go after Trump for this Florida one, they're going to have to cut off their hand to spite their arm and look at the situation with Joe Biden that we know is going on, which very closely mimics what happened here in Florida. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not quite, I know that in Georgia, it has to do something with interference as well. Mm-hmm. I want to be careful about what it is that we say on the episode, because all of the charges coming out of DC today have to do with the election and whether or not somebody can put the accuracy or legitimacy of any election in question is what we're asking, kind of the question that's coming up right now.
Yeah.
What are some of the charges so that people become familiar with that?
She just said that the phone died. What's the passcode so I can go back to TikTok? Live? Well, but up here, put the password here. Sorry, we can't put the password back. So I think the most egregious part of the indictments today is that they're actually trying to criminalize freedom of speech. Because when you read the case, which we should pull up really quickly, when you read the case, it's all about what Trump said or didn't say. What, just go really quickly. Oh. Sorry. Hold on 1 second, guys. We're actually also live on TikTok. And yeah. So to put it simply, Jack Smith, which is a prosecutor, literally being directed by Biden to come after Trump, he's trying to criminalize Trump's political speech, okay? Which is where I think they're going to run into a problem. Why I think the charges in Washington, D.C. are probably the most political ones and the ones that could be dropped the easiest, because they are trying to say that because Trump alleged or said or wanted to overturn the election or said that the election was
careful
compromise. I don't know how to would
we can't we use. Really can't say anything. This is why it's so complicated, because we can't talk about it and risk getting our channel taken down. But all of the charges being brought against Trump for out of Washington, D.C., have to do with the election results of 2020 and his response to them in return. Now, one of the things that is basically that by Trump posing questions about the results of the 2020 elections, that he was, what were the charges again? So there's conspiracy.
But here's the interesting part. There's no charges on incitement of an insurrection or a violence or a riot, because that never happened and there's no proof of that. So that alone goes to show you that the only way that, or the only charges that they're actually trying to, or the only charges that they brought up against Trump are all about political speech. There's no such thing as like damning evidence or really any legal grounds on what happened, but I'm going to tell you guys a summary of the charges. The first one is one count of conspiracy to defraud the United States, applies to Trump's repeated and widespread efforts to spread false claims about the November 2020 election while knowing they were not true, and for allegedly attempting to illegally discount legitimate votes, all with the goal of overturning the 2020 election, prosecutor claimed. So again, this charge on its own, it's saying that he was spreading false claims. How are you going to prove whether Trump actually believed that the election was compromised or whether he made up these false claims to try to overturn the election? How are you going to prove whether he believed it or not? That's why I think this one specifically is going to be so complicated for them to prove in general, because it's protected under the First Amendment, right? The second one is one count of conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding was brought due to the alleged organized planning by Trump of his allies to disrupt the electoral vote certification of the 2021 election in 2020. Now, again, there was a legal protest or rally that took place in January 6th. At no point did anybody there or Trump say go into the Capitol with the intention of disrupting the process that was taking place. That never happened. So I'm not sure how they're going to prove that one as well. And then the other one is one count of obstruction of an attempt. No, one count of obstruction of and attempt to obstruct an official proceeding is tied to Trump and his conspirators alleged efforts after the November 2020 election until January 7th. 2021 to block the official certification in Congress. Yet again, piggybacking off of the other one, basically saying that since November 2020 and through the rallies that there was in Washington, D.C. and all his claims, and they even bring up tweets that he posted and retweets, which again is freedom of speech. very dangerous line that they're trying to cross here to criminalize what the president at the time said or didn't say, tweeted, didn't tweet, and obviously everybody else that was supporting right. his claims. The other one is one con of conspiracy against rights refers to Trump and his co-conspirators' alleged attempts to oppress, threaten, and intimidate people in their right to vote in an election, which, what the hell are you even talking about? Oppress, threaten, and intimidate. When they already casted the vote in November 3rd or 4th of 2020. So I'm not really sure how this one specifically is going to turn out. Like, how did you oppress people and intimidate and threaten?
Well, the way that that particular charge is being presented is that when you take the people that have been already charged, like take, for example, like Atario, they're going to have to prove that there was a coordination between Trump and these people that did in fact disrupt the proceedings of that day to one degree or another.
Right.
So there's three things here that Jack Smith is going to have to prove. Number one, that when Trump was saying that there was inconsistencies with the night of November 4th, 2020, that he was only doing it not because he actually believed that there was inconsistencies, but because he wanted to entice a response from people. So the first thing they have to prove is that what Trump said wasn't what he really meant. That's number one.
Well, yeah, that's what it says here. They have to prove Trump's specific intent.
Right. That's the first thing that they're going to have to prove, which they're going to have a difficult time proving, because again, everything that Trump said leading up to that proves the opposite, which is that he genuinely did think that there was inconsistencies right. with the results, right? The second thing that they're going to have to prove is that he led to that he enticed people to act violently on that day on January. The problem with that, however, is that every single word that came out of Trump's mouth on that morning of January was, we are going to peacefully gather. We are here for a peaceful protest. We are going to do a peaceful march. So you'd have to actually prove that words that came out of Trump's mouth led people to whatever it was that they claim occurred on January 6th, which I don't agree with, but that's a different story. So they have to prove that when he said that there was inconsistencies, that he was lying. Then they also have to prove that when he told people to peacefully gather, that he meant the opposite of that. And then the third thing that they have to prove is that he truly conspired and planned out with a group of people for the events that took place on January to transpire just as they did. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that there's not any true backup to back any of this up. Now, one of the arguments that's being presented on why this is so problematic, because let's say, and which is with the first charge, at what point does putting into question the results of an election become a criminal offense? Hillary Clinton made claims all past 2016 up until 2020 that she believed her election was unfair and that Trump was an illegitimate president. She spent 4 years saying this. Stacey Abrams, until this day, denies that she lost her election fair and square. So now, does it only apply to politicians? Is it also going to apply to regular people like you and I, where if somebody was to question the results of an election, that maybe they can face criminal penalties for that? Is it pursuant to just the United States? So if somebody questioned the results of the Brazilian election, can that person potentially face criminal penalties? This is the problem with what's going on right here, which is that the Trump speaking about the results, not just Trump, everybody who's spoken out against the results of the 2020 elections and spoken up against the inconsistencies that appeared are all engaging in political speech. And now we are crossing a line where, can political speech be punished? Can a person be penalized for having a disagreement of the general consensus when it comes to elections and their results or their processes?
So what they're actually saying is that Trump is facing a Civil War era charge. And the charge of conspiracy against riots goes back to the Civil War era. It was passed after the Civil War as a way to stop members of the KKK and other similar organizations from intimidating, harassing, and outright terrorizing Black voters, especially in the South. So it's like they're basically comparing what Trump was trying to do, the legal procedures that he was trying to take, to that of the KKK from back in the day when they were literally trying to harass, intimidate Black voters in that era. Okay, that's where we are in this. And look, let me tell you something. I've had to personally disconnect a little bit from politics from every single day, except when we come here and we do our research, because it's so draining and it's so sad and it's so entirely disappointing to see where this country is today. To see that today Joe Biden, to troll Donald Trump, went on Twitter to drink out of a coffee mug with the red eyes where he says, "I like my coffee dark," implying that he has turned into Dark Brandon, which is basically him trying to put his political opponent in jail. And the person who has the best chance right now to beat him in the 2024 election. And he's on Twitter basically saying, "I don't give a rat's ass. I don't care that this is going to set a horrible precedent." And you know why that is? Because they're in control. They're totally in control. They are trying to tell you and me and her and everybody else that it doesn't matter, because they were able to successfully install Joe Biden and they'll do it again. Look at what's going on with Gavin Newsom and Ron DeSantis. The reason why they're allowing Gavin Newsom to debate Ron DeSantis, the reason why you have seen Gavin Newsom being on Sean Hannity, I think is one of the interviews that they gave him on Fox. The reason why you see him more and more and more is because they're preparing the American citizens to say, these are the two options that you're going to have in 2024. You're going to have Gavin Newsom and you're going to have Ron DeSantis. Correct. And we're going to be okay with any of them winning. Do you understand?
When people talk about the two sides of the same coin, the two-party system lie, the unit party conspiring together, this is what it means. You know, presidents are selected, not elected. This is what it means. Donald Trump broke the mold. Right. He regenerated a desire for the average American to want to get involved in politics, to care. Most people didn't. Politics didn't take over every aspect of every conversation in our real world as it does right now at this very moment. Yeah. Everything is politicized. And that is a direct response to Donald Trump jumping into this race and breaking this unit party mold. Somebody said, "I don't like either party." I don't like either
most party. Most people don't like either party either, love.
Most people don't.
People like us, the reason why the Republican Party was able to win in 2016 and 2024 was because Donald Trump was able to gather the vote of people who didn't like the Republican Party, understood that he was anti-establishment, and then brought people like us and many of you to vote for the Republican Party. Once Donald Trump is not around, there's going to be a significant drop of people who are going to say, "I don't care to be involved in this buffoonery and this stupidity of the two-party system," because you're going to select another president like you did with Biden, perhaps even DeSantis, and place him there in the White House, and we can continue the cycle of what they allow and they don't allow. Let's not forget that the New York Times had already printed that Madam President in 2016, because they genuinely believed that there was absolutely no way that Donald Trump was going to win and Hillary Clinton was going to be the first female president. That happened. They printed hundreds of thousands of copies, perhaps even millions. And that never happened. Let me tell you guys the biggest difference between this case and the other three cases of Donald Trump House. You know what that is? That they have listed more conspirators. Is that how you say it?
Conspirators.
I don't know how to say that.
Conspirators.
Okay. Yeah,
there you go. Inglés sin barrera, mostly peaceful Latinas.
Unlike the cases brought in New York and Florida, this one has more people and it includes its lawyers. Now, we've already seen what they've done to Donald Trump's lawyers in several states, including California. They've literally disbarred. Basically taken away their ability to to be lawyers.
Correct.
So they did it to Rudy Giuliani, I think, too, right?
Rudy Giuliani, absolutely.
And
I mean, how many people haven't they done it to? We've seen what they've done to General Flynn, what they've done to Roger Stone, what they've done to anybody that has any kind of association to Donald Trump. And what it really all is that it's all an attack on Trump to dirty him up, because then you could say, well, everybody that's close to Trump gets arrested. No, everybody that's close to Trump gets targeted by a corrupt DOJ,
right,
which is what we're up against.
Right. And then the other concerning part about this particular indictment is that they know exactly where they filed the case. They filed it with probably one of the most anti-Trump judges, circuit judges in the entire country. A Jamaican Obama-appointed judge who has given harsher sentences to January 6th defendants than any other judge in America or in Washington, D.C. In fact, she's so fucking horrible that she has given these people more years in jail or worse, harsher sentences than what the actual Biden administration was asking for. So if the special prosecutors for these January 6th defendants said they deserve 3 years in jail, this woman said, you know what? I'm not going to say 3 years. It's going to be 5 years. That's how much she hates Trump and his supporters. So you can already imagine exactly why they were able to put this case on that specific judge and what you want the outcome to be. Really, the outcome, if they could, and I'm sure they've tried, is that they would have Donald Trump on alive. That's what they want. They want Donald Trump on alive. Since they can't do that legally, for now, we don't know. We literally don't know what they could do. Anything's possible. I mean, you guys have seen the buffoonery that we've dealt with since 2020, right?
Since before that. We've been fighting the Mueller and we've been rushing the Russia hoax since 2016.
So when that happens, I'm not really sure exactly what's going to happen in Washington, D.C. When he gets tried in Washington, D.C., I don't know what type of outcome we're going to see, because unless his lawyers are able to somehow, some way get them to drop the charges, which I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think that look, at the end of the day, it's still like legalities. Like we've got to imagine that the entire process is going to be corrupt. It could be, but there's no proof of the claims that they are making. It would have to be that everybody involved in this process in DC is corrupt.
It's law,
which is very well. Now let's go back, because I have the DeSantis bots. You guys are very well aware that DeSantis has these trolls for hire, if you will. I don't want to call them bots, but because they're not bots, they're actual people behind the accounts. They're just trolls for hire. If you guys are unaware, there's an article that actually came out two days ago that exposed that Ron DeSantis' team has a War Room Slack account where they create and draft narratives, create memes, videos, things of that nature, and then they share this information with other anon accounts so that they can astroturf, if you will, the social media the social, and have this presence on social media to feint support for inorganic support for Ron DeSantis. So we know for a fact that this is something that they do. Now, all that to say, one of the bots that I've identified on Truth Social made a comment along the lines of, yeah, well, he could be found guilty and he could take it all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Well,
and he may be found innocent in the Supreme Court level, but that's going to take years. And when I read that, I'm like, of course, because here's the plan. Keep him tied up in the tedious lawfare during an election to diminish his popularity, his chances of winning, prevent him from running, anything that they can do to make the fix that is already in for Ron DeSantis seem more believable.
But here's what I read today, which was that I heard Jack himself, the prosecutor, say that they were going to try to get this case as quickly as possible because it is an election year. So they're actually trying to get him before 2024. They were going to try to docket it and speed up the process is literally what came out of his mouth. And then Ben Shapiro's theory is that his lawyers are going to try, or Trump's lawyers are going to try to extend it to after the election, because he's very busy. He has an election to run. Correct. So we'll see. But at least for Ben Shapiro, he thinks that Trump is, that the harsher or the worst case that Trump has facing, or that Trump is going to face, is going to be the one here in Florida. But that judge, Judge Aileen Cannon, is actually what the left likes to say, a very pro-Trump friendly
policy friendly, because right, she's not right. like an advert Trump but supporter. I think that the thing with the charges here in Florida is that I go back to that this is where I think the fix is going to come in. They know that Biden is a weak candidate. They can't put him up for another 4 years. The guy can barely talk. He can barely stand. He can barely walk. So they need to do a switcheroo. And how can they do that? Well, we know that there's a lot of noise, and we can't right. talk about it, but there's a lot of noise over the last couple of weeks regarding the Biden family. Things that are very inconvenient to have come out a year before an election. So one has to wonder, have they gotten to the point where they're like, you know what? We got to count our losses. If we take out our guy ourselves, then we can use the excuse that, well, we took our guy down too to take down Donald Trump.
Well, that's why.
Because the ideal ticket for the Unit Party is a Newsom DeSantis ticket that will get everybody fighting, you know, this super pro-lockdown, horrible things during COVID Newsom. And then DeSantis gets to run his entire campaign like he wants to on gay kids and COVID, because California is the complete opposite of Florida in that regard. There's no real conversation around foreign policy. There's no real conversation around the economy. They're going to have a perfectly curated unit party race where all they talk about is gay kids and COVID. And it will start the wars between the two sides, and Republicans will hate Democrats and Democrats will hate Republicans. And at the end of the day, it won't matter, because the guy that wins is not the guy that the American people chose. It's the guy, one of the two guys that the unit party chose.
God, who the fuck is this Grant dude just fucking crying about everything? Get the fuck off our channel.
I bet you that's a DeSantis.
If you don't like what we have to say, go watch one of your fucking losers. I don't know. Go watch somebody else. You're so fucking annoying. Oh, who's they? Who's trying to unalive Donald Trump? Are you a fucking moron? Who the fuck else is trying to unalive the president but his political opponent? Who else? You ask such stupid questions that I guess, oh my God, like I can't. Like, literally, you distract us from our train of thought. You distract the fucking show over the stupid-ass questions and comments. Go watch someone else. God. Fucking annoyed with these people. I can't stand this. DeSantis, fucking idiot. Sorry, guys. I can't. Like, who's trying to unalive Trump? You guys say this with no evidence. It's a fucking, like, what do you want me to do? You want me to bring you, like, the FBI sheet? You want me to bring you, like, recordings?
No, it's not that. It's just that's
a fucking idiot.
That's not what the podcast is for. Like I told you, it's a one-hour podcast, and we're talking about following an entire situation over the last 6 years. If you're open to have a conversation, you can feel free to interact
with
us.
Not with me. I'm a fascist. Go talk to Bella.
You can definitely
fascist.
Talk to me. Not me. You can interact with our content in the comment section. You can find me on Truth Social at redpillbabe.com, and I would be happy to supply you with all of the counter evidence to the messages that you're putting together.
Not me, I'm a dictator.
This is true.
Not me. I'm a dictator. Not me. Anyways,
so
we're halfway through the show. Let's read the super chats. I'm sorry. Can you read the super chats?
All right. Let's go ahead and let's go into the super chats. Let's start here at the beginning. Oh, actually, not the beginning. Our boy Adam coming through. Dear God, the lizard people are terrified of Trump. I'm so glad I get to vote for 45 in the primary and general election from the 305 this fall. Love Ooh. And appreciate you ladies so much. Per usual.
Can't wait to have you.
Love
here,
you, Adam. Can't wait till you are home.
We're going
us.
To lunch. We're taking you to lunch because you have been lunch on us.
Yeah, lunch on us.
Our number one supporter.
Reyna says, Linda and Bella, please make MPL merch if possible. Yes, Reyna, we have been working on something. We'll have something soon for you guys on the merch side. But thank you for supporting us and asking for that. Hope says, Gen Z Democrat male coworker told me that he would vote for Trump in the upcoming election. Him and his family have always voted Dem. Tides are changing. I'm going to come back to the super chat, Hope, because it's a great transition into our next topic that we are going to be going into. Ulises Don Omari Smith, my entertainment and personal channel, says, I'm happy I'm not the only one that sees sometimes the right are annoying as the left when it comes to entertainment, especially like you lady said, you can't have fun or enjoy anything. And also, it's like both sides. It's like both sides of you don't all the way agree with them. So something they lose their minds instead of trying to understand a different perspective because everyone experiences are different. It's not just that, Ulises. These people are miserable and they're looking for another way of making other people miserable. And they don't have anything in their life that makes them feel valuable. So a lot of the times they play these virtue wars so that they can feel and feed their own ego. Like, oh, you watch the Barbie movie? You're not a real conservative. No, and I'm tired. You guys know the little Joker meme, and I'm tired of pretending I am. I'm not. I don't give a fuck. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a conservative. I'm a Trump supporter. The only reason why I'm a part of your dusty ass party that I'm trapped in with you guys is because I'm a Trump supporter, and we live in a country with a fallacy about a two-party system. Okay. I'm so sick and tired of being told by dusty boomer conservatives clutching their pearls while they probably watch porn, cheat on their spouses, and do all these other things about how everything is bad. I can't believe that you watch that movie. I can't believe you wear that. I can't believe you listen to that music. Go fuck yourself in all sincerity and touch grass. It's so annoying and obnoxious. All right. Emery says, free Uncle T. Many in Georgia believe they have been waiting on Georgia to be the last because of the 2020. We patriots in Georgia were at the Capitol earlier this week in Atlanta, still fighting for erectile integrity. Emery, we got a lot to talk about. I know that you told me that you needed a little bit of help with something, and I definitely want to provide you the assistance that you need. Let's get through these. BMAX says, Tia Bella, thank you for the constant receipts on True Social. Hi, Tia Linda. Gen Z loves you guys. B Megan, I love you guys. Oh, Maga Donald is applying for the internship, so we're hoping that we can get our boy.
Okay,
all right. Who do we have here? Fairy Princess coming through. Are we showing her support? I wish you'd write something, girl. Fairy Princess, she's one of my True Social friends. Kenneth writes, Team Biden is scared to run against Trump. And that is very obvious. And it's not just it's not just Team Biden that's scared to run against Trump. It's also Team DeSantis that's scared to run against Trump. Because a lot of people say, well, why would he get in if he knew he was going to lose? Why would he get in if he knew he was going to lose? Well, because they promised him that if Trump went to jail, he would default the win. That's how politics work. Don't worry. There's no way that Trump survives. How many is it? 78 charges up to now.
Right.
It's probably going to be over 100 by the time that the election rolls around.
I actually took a screenshot. I don't want to interrupt with your super chats, but I actually took a screenshot of, hold on one second, of all the charges that were brought up. Should we finish these or take a break from the super chats and keep going?
I think we've only got a few more. Okay, let's get through them.
I'll tell you guys about the charges.
Yeah, we'll talk about the did you receive? Okay, Boxing is asking, hey, Mostly Peaceful, did you receive my email where I sent you guys El Maestro Doggy's podcast? If so, did you guys listen? I'm going to be honest with you. It's unread in our inbox. I haven't listened, but because you brought it up, I promised you that for the next podcast, we are going to have some feedback for you on El Maestro Doggy.
Oh, I read it. I read the whole email. I went through stuff. We just haven't reached out, but I actually...
Did you get to see the content?
I saw it all. I'm sorry. I was trying to look for the screenshot to show you guys. But yes, I did. I saw your email. I saw it. He's really big on Facebook. I saw the whole thing. So definitely we're going to reach out. Thank you so much for that. But yeah, I did. So.
All right. So from you ladies, Ulises coming through today, taking care of us. He's got some questions. He's like, from you ladies' perspective, why does it seem like it's mostly loose women in the society? Only even though we know it's respectable traditional women around. I say that because right now I'm tired as a man seeing nothing but women with almost no clothes on, twerking, looking trashy on TV and movies, in all videos on social media and in person. I don't want to think it's all. Okay, no, it's not hard to find at all. Society glorifies this kind of behavior and throws it into your face consistently for you to think that every girl is out doing these things. That is not true. Only less than 1% of the population has OnlyFans. So no, every woman isn't doing OnlyFans like it's being thought. Now, we are going to talk, once we go over the indictment, I want you to stick around, Ulises, because we're going to talk about this trend that's ongoing with teenage boys representing, being more represented by conservative values, but we're not seeing the same thing with women. And right. I think that the answer to your question is going to come in that discussion and what we think that the future is. But I understand that it probably seems like it's much harder for somebody to want a traditional girl and not finding that. But let me tell you something. Young men like yourself that are now setting the tone that your requirements and your boundaries are that you find a good woman that's not twerking, that's not half naked on the internet, you as a young man will be the barometer that shifts society so that men start demanding more of women as leaders.
The more you demand, the women are going to
respond. You are going to respond.
First of all, let's break down what you said. You're talking about entertainment. It's meant to do that. That's why I don't pay for cable. Very, very, very seldom do I watch a show, and it's usually because on a group chat, somebody will say, or Bella will say, I watched this movie, whatever, whatever. I don't really watch anything. My feed on my Instagram or Twitter is pretty much created around what I want to see, which is news, politics related. If it's fashion, I'm not looking at Fashion Nova where you literally have nipple pasties and your ass is out. I'm looking at more nice clothes. I don't even know, like,
de dama,
you know, de una señora decente. But you have to choose what you want to see. And here's the thing. If you step out of the social media world, especially Instagram and TikTok, and you walk around, you're not going to see these things, right? I just got my nails done 2 days ago. The girl is a millennial. She's 35. She had a baby. Her baby's 2 years old. And before she had her baby, she used to be a lot more loose, I would say, to use the term. And you know, I found it funny while I was getting my nails, and she's like, hey, where do you go shopping? Like, I'm trying to get like jeans without any holes. And I was like, I never wear jeans with holes at all. So I'm like, girl, like, the best jeans for me are typically at Zara. They fit my body, and you know, they're good. So then she goes on to say that as she's grown older, she's just realized that there's certain styles of clothes and things that she's not going to wear anymore. And that includes looking like a bum. She's like, you know, it's so embarrassing to go to my daughter's pediatrician's appointment with all these holes and like a little tank top, blah, 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 blah. So even then, like, women grow out of the stage and they start dressing more modest or according to their age. That's not everybody. You're still going to see people like Larsa Pippen, who's about to be 50 years old.
Right.
And she's wearing booty shorts and a little tiny bra. But you have to just get out of this mentality. You got to go to different things. Go to church. Go to a coffee shop. Go to nicer places. It doesn't have to be expensive, but just don't go to the club. Like, I don't see any of this stuff, despite the fact that we live in Miami. We simply don't hang around those places.
Right. We're not in the places like, where the degeneracy is at, even though there's a lot of places right, like that.
This is so. Miami. And like, we don't see that at all because we simply don't put ourselves in that situation. So that's all I want to say.
Let's finish these up really quick. Maverick says, Linda is hot when she's based and enraged. I agree. It brings me life too. David, our boy coming through, the Chad, the MPL's honorary Chad, David Berg coming through, says, the left pushed boys to the right because we are naturally drawn towards what least shames us. The left has no smart, entertaining, edgy male role models offering anything these guys want to aspire to. It's all soy cringe. Destiny is the best they got, but surprisingly isn't enough.
Right. And we're about to get into that.
Let's finish this last one really quick from Karen that says, I finally caught y'all live. I never miss a show. Fierce and feminine ladies, las amo. Guys, I don't know. I think that this later time is doing good. Well. How are we doing on TikTok?
Karen, I love your...
Yeah? All right. Guys, thank you for joining us on the TikTok stream. 2,000 likes on our stream already. It's our first time going live on TikTok. All right. So glad.
And ladies, just so you know, Mango MNG has very classy, nice clothes that you can buy. Zara has done very horribly lately, actually. Zara doesn't have anything good. You can usually find some good stuff at Zara, but it kind of looks really trashy lately and cheap. But Karen, I'm so glad to see you here. You're so beautiful. I love your content, and thank you for supporting us. But guys, on to our next topic, which is that Gen Z is trending more right. There was a study that came out of the University of Michigan where you see that by 2025, 12th grade boys, so boys between the ages of 16 to 18 years old, are mostly all conservative, whereas women are all trending down towards liberalism. What is exactly causing this? I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to have to say this, but I also think that Andrew Tate has had a significant role to play with these teenage boys. Why is that? Because as you guys have mentioned here,
like David just mentioned,
there is a lack of male role models for these younger boys. Women have Ice Spice. Have you seen how trashy and hoe-like she is? That's what every single Gen Z girl is aspiring to be now. She just had a 16-year-old twerking in her video. They were making an excuse about it, saying that she invited everybody. She had no idea that there was a 16-year-old that was going to twerk in all fours, literally on a table. Is that
the quality of the video right now?
Why is the feed so bad? No, but what about mine?
They're all connected like that. I'm in Colab Studios.
Oh, sorry, guys. Our feed stream is like weird. So, can you guys see us fine? Yeah, it's bad right now. They're saying
it is really bad.
Yeah.
Oh, there's something wrong with the connection or something.
Why? Do you think it's the Wi-Fi? The Wi-Fi is fine. That's weird. It's blurry. No, everyone's seeing it like super blurry.
Yeah, why? It's really bad. It's back
is
now.
Is it back?
Yeah.
Can you guys see it better? Can you tell us?
Can you guys let us know in the chat if you can see us a little better now?
The audio is good. You froze. It's frozen. It is frozen. Nope. Frozen and blurry. Frozen and blurry. Why?
No.
This was going so great.
Wow, it's the Matrix.
The Matrix attack.
As soon as we mentioned Emery.
Well, in the meantime, while we try to fix what's going on, no Wi-Fi, you got the wire up. I wonder what that is. Well, in the meantime, so what's happened is that I think TikTok is actually influencing people. And I've had these discussions before on my Instagram with conservatives on Twitter. Want to ban TikTok because for some reason they're retarded and they want to ban freedom of speech. I have no idea why. But on TikTok, what you actually find is that there's a lot of boys who are going into this right-wing, esoteric, Catholicism, Christian type of content, and they want to look good. They want to feel good. They're rejecting everything that they called hedonism. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, hedonism.
Hedonism.
Turn off the autofocus on the camera. See if that...
Choppy audio is good, but you're froze. So a lot of these boys are fans of Andrew Tate. And I know that Andrew Tate has a very complicated situation going on right now with the charges and everything that is that he's going through. And we can discuss that later, but that's not really.
Well, I mean,
that's not really like.
Well, I mean, look, we cannot. Right. It's not what the focus of the conversation is today. But I do think that it would be. Oh, this is killing us. This is killing us. You know, here's the thing. I think that it's in it would be ridiculous, dumb, as much as we have bad things to say about the red pill. There's a lot of good things that can be said about the red pill. One of them is that there is a huge, I'd much rather have a young man be influenced. God, this is painful to say. I would much rather have a young man be influenced by Myron from Fresh and Fit than to have a young man be influenced into becoming a transgender that chops off his private parts only to live to regret it halfway through his 20s.
Right.
It hurt me significantly to have to say that. Should we try to shut down and get back on? Because I don't think people are going to be able to watch the show like this.
Hold on, guys. It's really bad.
Should we close?
Who? Oh, no way.
What? What? Okay. What I need to understand is the quality on our YouTube video.
Why is this happening?
Wow, the Matrix is really attacking us right now.
Can you guys see? Is it better on your end?
We're unfroze now. Oh, there's an outage because of the accident. This is problematic. This is problematic. Yeah,
it's horribly, it's marginally better. There's a glitch in the Matrix. We can hear you fine, just blurry. Yikes, frozen again.
Is there any way that we can switch off from the, like if we switch off from the cameras to the phone, like would that help the situation?
No, but it's not that, it's the Wi-Fi, right?
Right, but we've got that's why I'm asking, because we've got the 4G or whatever it is that we have on the phones. Yeah.
Sorry, guys. We don't know what to do.
Which is fine. I mean, that's not...
No, it's really bad. I'm like on the phone and...
It's really, really
bad. It's frozen, but they can hear us. It's just the video. I can hear it's just frozen. I don't know why this is happening. Keep it going. So yeah, I guess we'll keep it going for now. We'll fuck the video, somebody said. But where our connection is, it must. Yeah, this has never happened before, but there's like, it's been storming. There's been a few things that are happening in this area. So I think that's probably why.
It's the Matrix.
It's the Matrix. But anyways, while we try to figure this out, Bella's over there trying to figure this out, I'll tell you guys in the situation with Gen Z is that they have pushed, especially the LGBT. Like there has been so much pushback by these teens against the LGBT. And it really took off last year, but we saw this year in June, where there was high school students removing flags, where there was high school students making fun of pronouns, where you had people on TikTok, you had so many Gen Z influencers poking fun of all this stuff, all this degeneracy. And you got to understand something. Women are more easily manipulated, and you guys know that, right?
But men are going to
push back on this ideology because it's trying to make them more feminine. It's trying to make them... Wait, did you... I think... Okay, so you guys just appeared. We're fine hearing you. Tons of Gen Z men are also heavily Christian. can see me, but they can't hear me. Can you hear me?
Is the quality better now?
No, it's a little, I mean, they could see me, I think. Matrix attack.
No, check the quality on your computer.
It looks horrible. Can you guys, how does it look from your end? Does it look better? It says we can see you, but it's still blurry. Somebody said the PC culture has gone too far and the right is very internet savvy and understands masculinity is very important. As a matter of fact, there was this tea bar that I would go to on the beach. I don't go to anymore because they shut down. And it was a group of young men, about 7 of them, all Gen Z between the ages of 22 and 25 years old. And every single one of them was extremely red-pilled, extremely trad, extremely conservative, even more right-wing than the majority of us, to be honest with you. Some of the stuff that they would talk about, I can't even say it on camera because I don't want to get in trouble with the YouTube lords. But they talk about wanting to stop this degeneracy. I know these that same group of men that I'm telling you about, they own a marketing agency, a social media agency, and they actually made an announcement on Twitter last week how they were not going to work with any OnlyFans managers to help them grow their socials, their Twitter accounts, their Instagrams, because that was actually contributing to the degeneracy of this country. And I was highly shocked. And the guy, I know him, his name is Nick, he was posting pictures of the DMs that he was getting from these men that manage OnlyFans models saying, hey, I would really love to work with you if you can help me out with the socials, X, Y, and Z. And he said, no, that's not what we're going to do. My agency is not going to help your OnlyFans models achieve any success at any level, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's on Instagram, and that's what we're going to do.
So I think we, or you guys, the men who are listening to this, are going to have, what's going on? Is it better? Oh, it's better. It's back.
It is.
We can see and hear you, but the audio is not syncing.
Huh? Is this from the phone or the camera that we're on right now?
It's better. Okay. Hey, you're back. Okay. Much better. Okay, hi, we're back.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Problem solved. Hi. And I'm a pleb. I didn't even imagine that.
It's still a little bit blurry. But
the audio's echoing.
Yeah.
Is it still echoing?
Because it's not connected to the camera audio.
Why?
Because on the phone.
So right now we're streaming on the phone?
Yeah.
But it sounds bad.
Not bad.
No,
but
it says no echo.
The lip sync.
No echo?
No, you sound distant. Good. Does it sound like it's coming from the right mic? You sound like you're 50 feet away.
Because we are, because it's only, I think... We're going to have to turn on the camera and just let it ride like it is. This is
really annoying. Oh, I'm sorry, guys.
I'm so sorry, guys. I don't
know. Yeah. Let's do the computer.
Okay, hold on.
All right.
It's
so
it's gone. No, it's gone.
We're back.
On the camera. Sounds fine. You guys look great. Bella waved her magic wand. No, I think it's dark.
Now it's good. All right. Well, let's go to where it is that we're. I'm seeing dark, but if you guys say that you can see us,
no video.
Then
I can hear or see anything. This is horrible. Why is it doing this?
Wow, this is really a Matrix attack.
Well, I'll tell you guys what was happening on the way here. Literally, there was a horrible accident. It has been raining all day. I think that the area is just. Actually, I don't know. I don't even know if there is a storm outside. I think there is a storm. Is there a storm outside? Hold on. Ay, Dios, ¿por qué? Sorry, guys. I have to scream in Spanish. Screams in Spanish. I mean, it's blurry, but it's there.
Oh man, this is infuriating. All right, it is what it is, guys. We're gonna have to
we'll get over this topic and we'll wrap up the show, and then we're just gonna have to pick up next week because I don't think there's any point in going further after that.
No, we don't got Comcast Infinity. We're in a studio and it's actually done by like the building. This is like a pretty large building.
We're going to keep going. We're going to finish off this topic, guys. For those of you that stick around, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. We really don't have much control over this, unfortunately. So we'll keep it short so that your eyes don't have to suffer. If you guys need to put the phone down so that you don't have to see the blurry image. And we'll try to do the best that we can to wrap up the show. So to the comment that we had just made to Ulysses, and I want to piggyback off of that with this topic that we're in with this younger generation. You know, we were reading this article and the study shows how it is that these young men are identifying more with conservative values and women are not. And I do think that, you know, the tape rolls, the RP content is a significant influence on that trend that we're watching. Now, here's the good thing that you guys, to give you guys a perspective, men are leaders of society. Women are always going to default to wanting to be attractive to the opposite sex. So if young men find, let's talk about a generation maybe 20 years ago. 20 years ago, Britney Spears was the epitome of attractiveness. And she was sexy and she was gyrating and she was twerking and she was dancing. And men found that attractive. Then we had Kim Kardashian and, you know, men normalized this attractive norm by their own preferences. So I think that women in society will naturally respond to what the men of that society find attractive, whether that's physical good looks or culturally or whatever it may be. When I see this shift going on with young men now, I do not see the stark difference in seeing that women are all mostly liberal and that these young men are now turning conservative, because I know that as these young men start making their way through society, as these young men start solidifying themselves more on these conservative values, it will be these young men in their positions of leadership in society that will demand more of the women that they are meeting or that they are dating. And what it will do is that as these young men themselves start identifying with more conservative values, they will start demanding this of the women in society, therefore shifting our entire culture into a more conservative one.
Yeah. If you guys demand more from women, they're going to have to follow. And I do think that in a way, we're going to start seeing men say, I don't want my wife dressed as a whore, right? And I'm not talking about something that's sexy or a bikini. Like sometimes a lot of people make big deal out of things that are not really like whole behavior. But I'm talking about, like, the other day I saw this beautiful girl. She is a basketball player for, I think, the Louisiana Tigers. And she was wearing what looked like what a prostitute would wear. There was holes everywhere. It was so tight, you could see her vagina. It was so tight, you could see her nipples. And it was so tight, you can't even wear underwear or a bra. So you're basically naked with a very thin piece of fabric on top of you that's so tight. I saw another very, I've never been super conservative either, but I'm not trying to look like a prostitute on the street. I saw another girl teaching women how to make their ass look bigger with this tiny, tiny shorts. And I saw it on TikTok and she said, you know, the shorts were actually pretty okay. They were like, you know, in the mid thigh. And she said, no, this is not what we do. What we do is we roll them up all the way to like the crease of your butt. And then you fold them on the top and then you pop your ass. So she's going through this entire video of how to make yourself look like more of a whore when you go to the gym. Now, I work my ass off when I go to the gym. I went to boxing today and I can't even put my clothes in the hamper immediately because they're drenched. They're just completely wet. So I have to like dry them out. I can't imagine going to a boxing class, which I did today, with shorts up to my ass and then trying to be comfortable. Does that make sense? Like I wore a sports bra today under another shirt because I if you're going to actually work hard, you're not going to be wearing things where your nipples are going to be popping out. Right. But right. If men start rejecting this type of behavior and you start demanding that the women dresses differently,
correct,
or acts differently,
correct,
that they're not drinking, getting blocked out. I actually know someone who broke up with their girl because she would black out every single time. And it became a burden for him to even take his girlfriend out to a nice steakhouse or a bar or a club. Because you have to carry your girl home. Why would you want that as a wife? Why would you
want that? Nobody wants that. And I don't think somebody, you know, back to a lot of the stuff that the RP says that do make a lot of sense. Like men don't want women that are passed around. Men don't want women that are out there sexualizing themselves for other men. Men don't want to feel like they have to share. But I also feel like it is men. And I don't mean men as in the same generation that we're watching The Shift with right now. I feel like it's been several generations, starting with the 60s and the love liberation movement of the 60s that we saw with the boomers. I think that movement starts this normalization of sexual liberation, if you will, which leads to the breakdown of the nuclear family values, because it's really about the values. The problem that I have with the RP is that as opposed to course correcting, they think that they can just get even with women for where we're at right now in society. And the reason why that is dangerous is because women, and I'll say it again, I don't care if the feminists get mad at me, women are not meant to lead. Women are meant to follow men's direction. So when you have men giving up on society, when you have men throwing their hands up and saying, well, you know, traditional values are not embraced anymore, conservative values are not the norm, and because of that, then we're just going to go to bed with as many women as possible, and we're just going to do this because screw them, and women deserve it too. When we fall into that, it becomes even more, like I was telling Linda this week, it becomes even more dangerous than feminism, because feminism on its own is nothing without the patriarchy, because the patriarchy is who gave women feminism to begin with. There would not be any feminism without men. So when you have a movement for women to give up on society, they can still be course corrected if men take the reins and lead correctly. But when men give up on society, then we're screwed.
Or trying to get even with women, which is what's happening. Today, when I was listening to Nick Fuentes, when he was saying that women shouldn't go to school at all, or, you know, he has a very more extremist view of the world, if you want to call it that way, and they should focus on being moms and housewives. That's all fine. I'm all for it. But the reality is that even the most traditional people, I'll tell you guys, my best friend, they're Indians, they're Hindu people. And when they came here to this country, well, his parents, he was born here, where they came from to this country, they had no choice but to have both parents working in their own business. How did my best friend grow up? My best friend grew up with a crib behind, they own the jewelry store, they still do. And so him and his sister, well, both parents worked in the business. They were on a crib sleeping in the back room, and that's how they grew up. And it's a family business now, and they're very wealthy. But there was no choice, right? Because you are an immigrant, you're poor, and not a lot of times do they have the choice to say you're staying home and just taking care of their children. I promise you, most women would actually do that. I think it's very few the women. There are some. I met a girl last week, and I was telling you about it, that her husband, very wealthy, he's the stay-at-home dad, but he's a trust fund baby, and she actually likes to work. But I think that if as you said, women have led us to that new cultural shift in a good God way, not a you're
God's
a whore,
gotta be at the center
you're
of
a whore,
it.
Right. You're a prostitute, you're gonna die alone, you're gonna just be with vibrators and a cat, single moms are gonna die alone. If when you take that route, no one's gonna be receptive to your message. Women aren't receptive to Pearl's message because she doesn't have the best intentions for women. Her intention is to shame, vilify women, and basically offer absolutely no solutions.
Right. Just tell us how it is that how screwed it is that everything else. And
I want to address this really quickly because I hate the fact that we're not on video. But this super chat said, Linda, look at what you did. Conavin broke up with Adam. And this is so funny because if you guys saw me on the Saucecast last week, when I was calling that guy broken a peasant and stuff like that, this man had a 4-hour breakdown of that show. He was so butthurt that Adam didn't kick me out, that Adam didn't kick the other black lady out. And
Myron would have never allowed this.
And then what ended up happening was that he later, this week actually, 2 days ago, he made an additional video, an additional live saying how his relationship with Saucecast and Valuetainment was done, that he was never going back on the show, and he was severing ties with Valuetainment because Adam allowed him to be disrespected, yada, 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 never picked up the phone, never had an apology. And this is a grown man, probably like 40-something years old, right? Mm-hmm. How old is he? 48?
He's in his 40s. No, his wife is 48. He's younger than her, okay, so he has to be like 46. I don't know.
He's 45 or whatever. And he's still crying over what happened on a show.
Well, he's crying because you didn't get kicked out. That's what him and right. all his incels in the comments are yeah. crying about. Like, Myron would have never allowed this. Adam doesn't have any control over his panel. First of all, Adam doesn't pay anybody to go on his show. Right, that's exactly. for free. Linda lives an hour away from Valuetainment. So yeah. add an hour to an hour from the time that she's there, away from her job. Like, who do you people think you are that women owe any of you red pill nerds that they have to sit on a podcast and allow themselves to be talked down to, humiliated, disrespected for what? Mm-hmm. Dusty as Conavin?
No. It's absolutely no ridiculous.
women don't have to put ridiculous. Up with that. And it's hilarious because he says that he's not fazed, that he's like, oh, I wasn't humbled. Bitch, yeah, the fuck you were. Yeah, the fuck you were, because you think that respect is owed to you because you're some kind of elder in the RP community. Bruh, Rolo looks like somebody's lesbian Thea aunt. Wearing a Scully.
I don't think most people here know what that is. Don Juan said something else. He said, so 1/3 of men haven't gotten any, and next year it'll be more. The patriarchy will come back when those digits go 80 to 90%. I ask for empathy for men. But here's the thing. You can't live in a society where you're telling us that women are whores and loose and sleep around and they're promiscuous, and at the same time tell us that 1/3 of men are not getting any. Which one is it? Is it that the women are whores and are sleeping around and they're promiscuous and they're giving away their value? Or is it that men can't get laid? Because it takes two to tangle.
Correct.
It takes
two to but have what sex. It comes down to is the feminization of men in our society. Most right. women don't want to sleep with men, that all they want to do is play video games and eat hot Cheetos mm-hmm. and drink Mountain Dew. Right. Like this gamer type of new generation where all they do is just watch YouTube videos, hang out in chat boards, do all of this. Like women don't want weak men either.
No, they
so
don't.
As a result, yeah, if we have an increase of young men that are spending times locked up in basements playing video games yeah. and calling women mid on the internet all day from their mom's basement, then you can expect that as many more of those men that they are is going to be the number of men that don't get that women are not attracted to, because mm-hmm. that's just it's basic biology. So I think it goes right back to, I'll say it again. Mm-hmm. Women are not meant to lead societies. Societies crumble because of weak men, not loose women. When you have weak men, a society mm-hmm. cannot move forward. Mm-hmm. So part of what we're watching with the imbalance of women being alone, because here's the reality. The numbers also say that the majority of women are going to be single over the age of 40 come yeah. in the next 10 years.
And they're gonna
so
have to
when the majority of women are going to be single, but the majority of men are also not getting, or more than half of women are going to be single and more than half the men are not getting laid, then what's really happening? It's not a male or a female problem. It's a problem that we're no longer, we no longer have the tools to develop ourselves in relationships. men or women alike. And unfortunately, I know that the red pill community likes to blame everything on women, but you can't claim that you are the ones that build societies while also blaming the downfall of societies on women. Mm-hmm. In order for there to be a shift, the shift must come from men first. It cannot come from women first. The shift must come from men. It must be led by young men. And it's something that happens organically over time, because women will want to meet at the middle and attract that very kind of men. And if men are stating from this point forward, starting to set new boundaries where we don't want you to be a whore and we don't want you to do this and we want you to be a church and we want you to be virgins and we want you to do all those things, then you are preconditioning this next generation to actually fall in line with those expectations that this new breed of men is going to be demanding in society.
Right. And here's the other thing for the one of the last super chats, Murad Deeb. I don't know how to say that. I'm guessing that's Arab. I don't want to disrespect your name. He says, those 1/3 of men need to be appealing and improved. You need to pick a struggle, right? Like, we're not all going to come. Very few people are going to come
handsome. Madiba is base. He always has really base things to say.
Tall, rich, funny, charismatic. You're going to have to pick a struggle. If you're ugly, then you're going to have to improve yourself as much as you can by gaining a better body, by gaining charisma, by being funny, maybe a little bit of money. Because at the same time, if you are wealthy and hot, but you're a miserable piece of shit, you may get women to sleep with you because they want to take your money, because they want you to pay for that bottle at the club or go in your mega yacht or whatever. Are you going to find true love and people that love you if you're a miserable piece of crap? No, you're not. You have to choose a struggle. The problem with a lot of these online men who are constantly complaining about women is that they don't want to improve themselves. They don't actually want to work on charisma or anything. It's, I'm short, I'm fat, I'm poor, I'm this, I'm that. I actually saw Brittany Martinez, the owner of Evie Magazine, where she tweeted out one of the newest articles from Evie talking about, forgot the name of the actor in Oppenheimer. He's shorter than average. Mm-hmm. And but she was saying, like, oh, it's the era of the short kings rise up, like, obviously giving a compliment to shorter guys. Do you want to know what the comments of guys were? Oh, well, that's easy for you to say. Oh, because he's an actor and he has light eyes and he looks like this and he has cheekbones and that. So it's like, well, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to compliment you and actually help you get better and tell you that there is a chance that if you're 5'5", you can be with a girl who's 5 feet tall and you're actually be 5 inches taller? Or what do you want us to say? Do you want us to say, well, unalive yourself? Like, I don't know, go hide forever. Like, I'm trying to understand where or how to give advice to these. I mean, I'm not trying to give advice.
No, I'm
to
not
men.
Trying to give I'm advice to give men advice. By any capacity, but the only at thing all. That we can
but
do
when we do
is
get
give
these
a realistic
questions.
Perspective
when we do get these questions,
as
right?
women. And we don't think we don't identify as only fan models. We don't have high body counts, like all of these women that go on these shows and they're like, oh, tell us about yourself or whatnot. We're regular women having a date. Well, I'm married, but had a dating experience in Miami-Dade. Linda continues to have one where they say that it's the hardest city to date in, and we got to be realistic. Next week, we are planning a pretty awesome panel where we're going to bring in just regular dudes from Miami, not millionaires, not billionaires with Bugattis, not 6'5" models. We're going to bring in a panel of average, with all due respect to these amazing average men in Miami, that we're going to bring on our panel so that they can honestly talk about what their dating experience is like in this city. Not from people that moved here 2 years ago and are mad that they can't have access to the Russian models on Instagram, but to the people that have been dating in this city their entire lives. And we hope that it's going to be able to provide, at a minimum, counter this lie that every woman out there has an OnlyFans, that every woman out there, you know, just wants to be promiscuous and party with their friends. It's not true. The reality is that there is a lot of good girls out there that are just entering the dating market that don't need to be damaged by this very dating market. You could find these women before they're damaged and date them. For all of you young men, it's not that serious. Also, there's a lot of things that, well, that's a conversation for another day. I don't want to take up too much more time because
yeah, this is horrible.
This is horrible. We're not going to be able to cut any of this.
Super chats.
or play it. To our last two super chats that came in, guys. Y'all, I'm not RP because it's wrong and not black pill because it's false. And yes, women should go for the best and men need to take responsibility. I love that, Don Juan. Thank you, guys. Stacy, thank you for coming through with your contribution today. Sorry, you guys, about the, I mean, thank you guys so much for staying on with us and continuing to engage with our content. We ask you guys to please also check out our support, our sponsor at PatriotShave.com.
Ooh, yes, I forgot to mention that earlier because we were, can you put the Patriot Shave thing? I mean, yeah, I don't know if you could see it, but guys, we do have a new sponsor, Patriot Shave. And Patriot Shave sells quality razors at affordable prices, but even better, they are traditional. They are a traditional values company that believes in faith, family, freedom, and tradition. Unlike other big name razor brands who love to salute the rainbow flag, donate to BLM, or feature transgender kids in their commercials, Patriot Shave razors are all freedom, no woke. Please check them out at PatriotShave.com, and you can use our code MPL10 to get 10% off. We're very grateful for Patriot Shave for believing in us and actually sending us some goodies as well, because we're not trying to support a lot of the woke companies, and obviously shop with your values, right? But
right, guys, fight back with your dollar, guys. It's the best thing that we can do. I can't believe that all of you guys stayed on this. Given the technical difficulties, we appreciate you. We're so thankful and so grateful for you. And oh, hopefully next week we won't have any of these issues. Yeah. But come in next week, guys. We've got this all male panel that we're going to be talking to, and we really want to hear what you guys have to say about it. Pray for Donald Trump. Pray for our country. And if you're not subscribed to Mostly Peaceful Latinas, what are you even doing? Thank you, guys, and we will see you next week. Thank you,
everyone. Love you guys. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.